of God, which we read this morning, is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. Then Jesus, when he had been baptized, came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is our text. Dear fellow redeemed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel lesson for the first Sunday in Lent, which is next Sunday, is the account of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. St. Matthew's gospel has that event immediately preceded by Jesus' baptism by his cousin John. And so the account of Jesus' baptism is therefore often read on the Sunday before Lent. And so it is natural that we should thus focus our attention on the biblical teaching about baptism this week. However, the account about the baptism of Jesus is not intended so much to teach us about the baptism which Jesus instituted and commanded to his church. We learn elsewhere in the scripture that John's baptism and the baptism commanded by Jesus are to be distinguished from each other. Rather, this text is about how Jesus has stepped into our place to become the vicarious, that is, the substitutionary sacrifice, taking our sin upon himself and carrying the sin of the whole world to the cross. But then at the same time, this text about Jesus' baptism does have very much to say about our baptism, for the Apostle Paul speaks about that baptism several times in this way, that in baptism we are baptized into our Savior's life of obedience to the law and his obedience to suffering and death and to his resurrection, so that we become partakers of his work. Now, in this text, perhaps the most puzzling words are these: "Thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." The first question that occurs to us is, well, who is this us? Is it us as in us here? No. There's another us, from Jesus' view, God himself, the Father, whose voice we hear in this text come down from heaven, the Son, there in the flesh, and the Spirit there in the form of the dove. Then, what about to fulfill all righteousness? That actually gets at what is most central in this very unique baptism performed by John as he baptizes Jesus. Martin Luther preached on this text, and in his sermon he says, "In his baptism, Jesus became the worst sinner of all time." Now, our lips may recoil from saying that Jesus became the greatest sinner of the world. It seems exactly wrong. It seems like a very huge mistake. But Luther knew very well what he was saying, because these words go to the very heart of the gospel of our redemption, as it is set forth for us in Holy Scripture. We can begin to understand those words when we hear what is said by Scripture itself. St. Paul to the Corinthians, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." To the Galatians, "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." And again, Galatians, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us." And finally, that familiar passage from Isaiah, the Old Testament gospel, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." On the cross, the wrath of the Almighty God against sinful human flesh is unleashed once and for all in all of its vengeance, and it is poured out on the one who is called the Son of Man. As the rays from the sun are focused into a tiny burning point when they pass through a magnifying glass, the wrath of the holy Lord God is focused on him, on the Son, into a burning point at the cross, so that he bears all of that wrath of God in its fullness. Indeed, Jesus looked ahead to his suffering on the cross and said, "Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Ironically, using the word baptism there in that other sense, as in baptism of fire. John's work was to preach repentance and baptism for the remission of sins. And that is exactly what is said in his baptizing of Jesus. It is a baptism for the remission of sins. And so Jesus comes to John and says, "Baptize me." And this then becomes a very public proclamation that the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God made him to be sin for us. Now, how does that get from him to you? St. Paul writes, "As many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life." And he also writes, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That is, you've been clothed with Christ, clothed in his righteousness. And that is how it comes to be that we can stand before God. Without Jesus' work, we can only burn in our sinfulness and our misery and our alienation from God. But here in Jesus' baptism, the meaning of redemption is set before us sinners. Everything that he wants to give you is here in his baptism. His perfect life of righteousness for you, his perfect, full, and complete sacrifice for you on the cross. It is all there for you, with your name written on it. And it's applied to us in this way. In his baptism, he sanctified us, made us holy in the water of our baptisms. And so we live under that baptism every single day. In the catechism we learned long ago, Luther teaches us that wonderful prayer for the morning, when we rise, and for night, when we go to bed. And in it he urges us, in the morning, when you rise, you shall make the sign of the Holy Cross, and you shall say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and then pray. Morning and night, you awake and live your day in repentance and under the same words and sign that you were baptized. And at night, you go to bed and you sleep under that same sign. His angels are there to keep you day and night safe in the waters of his baptism and yours. To him alone be the glory. Amen. This morning, a prayer has been requested for Pastor Michael Heinz, who is pastor of Gabrielle Emmons. He has recently suffered a stroke. Let us rise for prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, you have promised that you will work all things for the eternal good of those who have been called into your kingdom. We come before you through the merits of your Son on behalf of Reverend Michael Heinz. According to your will, grant him a safe and speedy recovery, that he may continue to serve you and the work of your church. Comfort him and his family through the blessings of your sacred word. Teach all of us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen.